Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Now, more than 4,500 people are expected tonight in what will be the largest English language commemoration of its kind, taking place at the Armoured Corps Memorial Site at Latrun outside Jerusalem. Under the theme, Together We Remember, this Yom HaZikaron ceremony is for us to focus on the heroes, cherish the world they left behind, and try to be worthy of their sacrifice. The ceremony tonight at Latrun will honour several fallen individuals, including Captain Daniel Peretz, a South African-born platoon commander whose body remains in Gaza. And for anyone who's interested in sharing in that Yom HaZikaron ceremony, you just need to Google Armoured Corps Memorial at Latrun outside Jerusalem. There will be countless viewers participating online as well. To discuss how Yom HaZikaron is being commemorated in Israel, and particularly what psychological effect it has on both Israelis and Jewish communities around the world, I'm joined on the line by Serena Kaplan, who is a clinical psychologist. Serena, thanks so much for joining us here on the Morning Mayhem. As a psychologist, what do you make of the collective trauma of Israelis, particularly on Yom HaZikaron, as they mourn fallen soldiers and terror victims, and at the same time grapple with the ongoing war's psychological toll, including the unresolved hostage crisis in Gaza?
Morning, Paula. Thank you so much for having me on the show. So, as you say, there's been this bunching together, the sequence of Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaHatzmaut, where all these events are bunched together in a way that is very significant, especially currently in the climate in Israel, where we find ourselves going from remembrance into celebration. So Yom HaZikaron reminds us of the cost of having Israel, whereas Yom HaShoah reminds us the cost of not. And as you say, it calls to mind the kind of intergenerational trauma that is such a prevalent and such a significant theme in Israel. It's really about the unconscious transmission of emotional pain, survival strategies of one generation going into the next. So it's not just about hearing stories of trauma, but it really speaks to how fear and silence and coping mechanisms shape family behaviors, worldviews, and even the way love and protection are expressed. So here's the thing, intergenerational trauma doesn't always present as overt distress, but subtly influences behaviors, perpetuating cycles of anxiety and fear.
And Serene, if I can come in there and just ask you, all of that against the ongoing war in Gaza, what psychological challenges arise when this current conflict prevents closure for many families, and does it reopen the loss, the wounds, the trauma for those who have lost in previous wars?
I think it's unavoidable in some way, Paula, because as you say, the ongoing conflict is so palpable. And what we know is that when society is under that continuous, relentless threat, people's nervous systems remain on very high alert. And old traumas, you know, from bygone wars, multiple wars that Israel has suffered in the past, can be very easily reactivated in a nanosecond, in a heartbeat. So this is an ongoing challenge. And as you say, often when there is trauma, we have a clear beginning and end, and then recovery and healing then follows, you know, in logical order. But because of the ongoing situation, I think people remain suspended in this ongoing space of high activation, and can be set off very easily by all the memorials, the commemorations that happen. And I think that's why it becomes so critical for individuals in Israel to keep creating little islands of safety, either in good relationships, in mindful practices, in communities that buffer and support them, just to counterbalance this very relentless sense of threat and danger.
But it's not only communities in Israel. I mean, I'm guessing you would agree with me that Jewish diaspora communities and, for example, here in South Africa, that high activation is also keenly felt. What kind of psychological strategies can you suggest to the South African Jewish community to cope with rising anti-Semitism while maintaining solidarity with Israel at this very difficult time?
Mm. That's such a great question, because I think that we need to piggyback and take a feather, as it were, from the Israelis' caps. We see that Israelis are the most resilient of people, and they seem to manage their generational wounds and heal and prevail in spite of the impact of this ongoing conflict, both historic and current. And I think that when we look at Israeli society and borrowing from the lessons from them, at the same time, that trauma casts this very long shadow on Israeli society, so does survival. And that's why Israel came to be in the first place. So I think we have to kind of really lean into that kind of narrative, understanding that never again is not just a slogan. It's a manifesto. It's a duty, as it were. And I think that we need to kind of really lean into that, understanding that anti-Semitism is as old as time itself. And it's not about forgetting or moving on or, dumping the past, but it's really about transforming inherited pain and relying on our resilience to create meaning and deeper connections, honoring our roots without being trapped by them, as it were. I also think having compassion for one another is key. And you do see this in Israel in some sense. Many people are in the cycle of survival and have developed strategies to cope. And I think interpersonally, we have to support one another and band together and understand that we're not alone and be committed to the survival strategy that Jews have had since time itself.
Yom HaZikaron's sirens and ceremonies that will start this evening and continue throughout the day tomorrow create a shared moment of grief across Israel. How do these rituals help both individuals and communities process loss?
Well, I think that it's very important, because what we see is that people come in with an inherited feeling of pain. And when there is this banding together, when that siren goes off and there's that minute silence, we see an entire nation stand still, come to pause, to honor the past. But it's also intrinsic to moving forward, a commitment to moving forward and building a Jewish free haven, particularly in the face of the upswing in anti-Semitism. So I think it's kind of a reminder of the indomitable spirit of the Jewish nation, that camaraderie of people from all walks of life across all different ethnicities and levels of belief and religious practice, where everybody comes together as in commonality to really look at our history and to have that commitment to not allow it to happen ever again.
I mean, I'm struck, Serena, while you talk, we did an interview earlier with Avi Kay, who lost his son in a terror attack in Israel, and he was echoing exactly what you say. I was struck by how he was talking about remembering his son's death, which is, if I remember correctly, was in 2022, and he spoke about remembering it this year by paying attention to what is happening in Gaza and the hostages that still need to come home. But on the other side of the scale, you have in Israel today a heightened fear and division because of what's going on in Gaza, because of the fact that the hostages haven't come home. How does one, from a psychological point of view, deal with the heightened fear and division that the Israeli society is experiencing?
Well, I think that's an ongoing challenge because the polarization of the society is very palpable on, you know, on the ground. And, you know, we see sort of spurts and outbursts between people in the most prosaic of settings where people's ideologies and political inclinations and opinions, you know, clash in very significant ways. And the emotional gravitas of that can happen in a moment. I was just in Israel myself recently, and you can see it in, you know, in a simple thing like doing a transaction in a supermarket where, you know, two people can get into a conversation and really amp each other up. And it becomes, you know, these mini wars that people are fighting on a daily basis, just in the microcosm, which does no favors for one's mental health. But just a little anecdote I can perhaps share with you. In my experience recently in Israel, I was looking at some toys to buy for my little granddaughter who'd found the Afikoman. And there was a fairly belligerent salesman who was getting very impatient and started being particularly rude and sort of semi-abusive. And before I dove in and sort of got into attack and counterattack mode, I kind of tried to imagine what this man might have been through himself in the last 2 years and predating that. And then, in fact, somebody did tell me that he had just lost two sons in the events post October 7th. So I think coming in with empathy and compassion and understanding that feelings and sentiments run high, and just to exercise some restraint and recognize the humanity in everybody is a starting point.
Serene Kaplan, I'll have to highlight an ending point here, but thank you so much for your insight and for talking to us. That's Serene Kaplan, a clinical psychologist. And for any of our listeners who would like to be part of a Yom HaZikaron ceremony tonight in Johannesburg, just go onto the Zionist Federation, South African Zionist Federation's website. At 6:30, Liora Ben-Sur will be addressing a Yom HaZikaron commemoration. She's an Israeli mother of three who lost her mother, who was South African, on October the 7th. And that could be a way, perhaps, that you could feel part of the collective and part of the healing that Serene Kaplan is talking about.